Thank you, Tom. I still get nervous when Tom is up here introducing me. I never know what he's going to say. Even almost 6 years later, I still don't know what he's going to say, and I get nervous. Before I continue, I don't know if people here can see, but I'm guessing those who are joining online can see. I've got a big bandage on the top of my head, and I don't want people to be distracted by the bandage, wondering, hey, what happened to Sam? Did Kate hit him over the head with something, and he's got a big gash? So I will clear that up now so that nobody is distracted, at least not by the bandage. So my doctor found a mole on the top of my head that was kind of oddly shaped. And so this week he removed it and we'll get it biopsied and hopefully everything is okay. But that is why I've got the bandage. There's stitches in my head. And I've got to keep the stitches dry until they get taken out. So as I'm waiting for the biopsy report, if you could pray for me and for us, that would be greatly appreciated. If nothing else, I think they caught it early enough that it shouldn't be a problem. But anyways, just to be safe, prayers would be appreciated as well. So let's continue with prayer. Father, we thank you that we can gather together to worship you, Lord, because there's nothing better than worshiping you with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So Lord, as we gather, we know that you are here working among us and in us. And Lord, we ask that you would speak, through me, that you would give me the words to speak, but that you would also speak to us, speak into our hearts, into our minds, into our lives, and change us for your glory, to be more like you, to bear witness to you, to bring glory to you. Lord, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The day probably started out like any other day. He probably woke up, grabbed a bite to eat, and tried to get himself ready as best he could, because his friends were on their way. His friends came every day, same time every day, to take him to the temple. And he couldn't make it there on his own. He needed their help. There were some things that he could do, but he couldn't get around, and without their help, he was stuck at home. Verse 2 tells us, now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. He couldn't use his legs, so he couldn't get around on his own. So like many days before, his friends came, got him, carried him to the temple gates, laid him there where he could set up shop for the day, and sit and beg. What he did was pretty smart, actually. He sat in front of the temple and begged those walking by for money. Everyone who walked by the temple or walked by him would have been on their way into the temple or out of the temple, most likely on their way to pray or offer sacrifice to God. That's what Peter and John were doing. Verse 1 tells us, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 p.m. Peter and John were on their way to the temple. Jewish law taught the Jewish people about caring for the poor and the oppressed. And so the Jewish people going to the temple would have had that in mind as they passed this lame man waiting there, begging them. And Jesus spoke of loving our neighbors. So the Christians who walked by him on their way to the temple would have thought of that as they walked by and saw this lame man begging them. Those walking by on their way to the temple or coming out of the temple, I imagine, would have been stuck in the heart. All the teachings they had received were to look out for those who were like this lame man before them begging them. Whether they were Jewish or Christian, what they learned was to care for those less fortunate. And here was a poster boy for those less fortunate. A guy who couldn't even walk. Born like this. A guy who had to rely on the generosity of his friends to take him to the temple gates. And had to rely on the generosity of strangers to give him some food, to give him some money. How could anybody walk by this man without feeling a little something in their hearts? Even today, many people go to churches asking for money because they figure that at a church that Christians will help them. I saw this quite a bit at my previous church, and I saw it quite a bit at Regent. When I was at Regent, there were a couple of homeless guys hanging around Regent, and they did it because they knew that Regent was a Christian seminary. And as people walked in and out of Regent, coming out the doors, they would ask for change. Some people would stop and give them money. A lot more people would actually stop and give them food or go buy them food and come back and give it to them. But some would just walk by. But the two people that were there asking for food or money, they would often say something to you, whether you gave them something or not. If you gave them something, they'd usually say something like, "Oh, thank you, friend. God bless you." But if you didn't give them anything and you just kind of walked right by them, the subtle ones would say something like, "God still loves you." Or, "God still loves you." Even though you didn't give anything, he would say something like that. And the not so subtle ones would say something like, "You're Christian, huh?" If you didn't give them anything, it would kind of stick you in the heart to want to give them something next time. And I'm sure the people going in and out of the temple felt similarly with this man begging outside the temple. Most probably felt compelled to give him something. And those that didn't would probably feel the sting of and hypocrisy of going to and leaving the temple to pray, to worship God, yet ignoring the man who had been born lame. And I'm guessing this day started out like any other day. But this was no ordinary day. As the people rushed by him, going to the temple for that time of prayer, two men come across this man. They saw him sitting there, and I'm guessing their hearts probably broke for him. Because you see, these weren't just any guys. They were Peter and John. There were two guys who had been with Jesus. Been with Jesus from the beginning, who had seen Jesus perform miracles, a couple of miracles which were actually quite similar to this one that they're about to be a part of. They had seen Jesus perform healing miracles. But more importantly, they had seen Jesus' heart for those who were poor and oppressed. They saw how Jesus' heart went out to the weak and the oppressed, and how Jesus performed many of his miracles, not so much to show off his power, but because he cared for them. When 5,000 men plus women and children followed Jesus into the wilderness in Luke 9, the disciples, they wanted to send them away hungry. But Jesus wanted the disciples to care for the crowd, to give them something to eat. When the man with leprosy came to Jesus and said, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean," in Luke 5, Jesus didn't just heal him, but he reached out his hand and physically touched him. Physically touched a man with leprosy. That was unheard of back in the day. Jesus doesn't just heal him, but he physically touches this man with leprosy. Jesus loved the poor and the oppressed, loved them so much that he touched this man, this leper, and healed him. And when Lazarus died in John 11, Jesus, before raising him from the dead, weeps for this guy who has died. So many times Peter and John had seen Jesus perform amazing miracles, but they weren't just to show Jesus' power, but because Jesus' heart went out to the people in need. And so as Peter and John come up to this lame man begging outside the temple, I can't help but think their hearts are breaking, their hearts are going out to him, that they had compassion on him. And so as he's begging, they stop. Verse 6, we're told, "Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, I give you.'" Peter had no silver, he had no gold. At first, I used to think, kind of sounds like me when people come up and ask me for spare change. I don't have any cash, even though I've got like coins jangling in my pocket. Not anymore. I don't carry money cash anymore, but that's what I used to do. And I used to think Peter and John were probably doing the same thing. They just didn't want to give this guy money, so he said, "Silver and gold have I none." But then when you read Acts chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, and it says, "All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need." It makes sense that they don't have any silver or gold on them. Because like the other believers, they probably contributed what they had so that those in need among them could have, so they could be taken care of. And so as Peter and John come and say, silver and gold I do not have, they still have something else. They have compassion for the man. And when the lame man asks them for money, Peter and John don't just rush by him because they're late to the temple to pray. They don't rush by him saying, oh, we got to go pray, we got to go pray. They stop. They actually stop. And verse 4 says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. I would imagine that it was rare that people ever made eye contact with this guy. People would probably rush by, and maybe some of them would drop a few coins as they rushed by, maybe say a few words. Maybe some of them would drop some food or place it nicely in front of them, but I would think that most people were too busy to stop and look at him, to converse with him. I doubt that there were many people who would take the time to talk to this lame man lying there begging for money, let alone make eye contact with him. But here are Peter and John, probably two of the first people to treat this person like a human being, to stop, to look at him and tell him to look at them. You have to remember, disabled people were nothing back then, were nothing like disabled people now, in the sense that now if you're disabled, there are programs and services to help you. Back then, if you were disabled, there wasn't much that you were good for. You were pretty much useless and viewed as cursed by God. And I imagine that the man would have been pretty shocked to have someone talk to him, let alone make eye contact with him and tell him, look at us. But with that shock, I would imagine there was a lot of anticipation and hope. Dude, if these guys are telling me, like stopping and talking to me and telling me to look at them, I'm probably going to hit payday with this. And I'm guessing the man looked up with a lot of hope and expectation. But he didn't get what he had expected. Peter looked at him, and in verse 6 it says, silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. I can imagine this guy hearing that. What? Are these guys crazy? Dude, if I could walk, I would have gotten up and walked. I would not be here. Yet that's what Peter is saying to him. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. This guy who had probably been hoping for money and maybe some food, something that would help him out, help him through another day or maybe another few days or a week. That's what he came expecting, hoping for. But he didn't get what he was expecting or hoping for. He got what he got was so much better. What he got was something he couldn't have imagined. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And after saying that, verse 7 says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. This guy's never stood a day in his life. He was born like this, lame. Yet as Peter helps him up, his ankles and his feet become strong, and he's able to stand. All of this in the name of Jesus. Not in the name of science, not in the name of Peter or John or in the name of money, but in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. If I say that too much, I keep thinking of that old children's song, and then I start singing, but I don't think you guys want me singing here, so I'll stop saying that. It's not by Peter's power or abilities, it's by Jesus' power that Peter told him to walk. And it's by Jesus' power that he does, that he stands up and starts walking. And I wonder, when's the last time we invoked the name of Jesus? We believe what science tells us. We do what science tells us we should do. We often try to do things on our own power, by our own merit, our own strength. We try to do church by our own knowledge and power. But when's the last time we did something in the name of Jesus? This lame man had come hoping for money or food, something that would tie him over for a few days, maybe a week. Those were most likely his expectations in coming and begging. Yet instead, in the name of Jesus, he got a new life. He was born lame, unable to walk or stand, and yet now, in the name of Jesus, he's able to stand up and walk. He never knew what life was, being able to stand and walk on his own. He was born lame. It wasn't like he was born with functioning legs and lost the use of his legs. He never had the use of his legs. But now, in the name of Jesus, he's got a new life. He can stand up. He can walk. He can run and dance and sing. He came looking for money. He came hoping for food. He left with Jesus and a new life. He wasn't expecting this new life. He wasn't expecting to go home that day on his own power. He was expecting, hopefully, I've got enough money that when my friends come to pick me up, I can give them a few bucks for helping me out, and we all go home and we can have some food. He came hoping for money and food, and he goes home walking on his own in the name of Jesus Christ. He's willing to settle for food or money because that was all he knew. That was the best he could hope for. We don't know if he knew Jesus, but the best that he had hoped for all of this time was for a little bit of food and a little bit of money. And I'm guessing that's because he didn't know Jesus. But what about us? What about us? We know Jesus. We know the power of his name. We know the power of his death and his resurrection. So why are we still willing to settle for so much less? Why are we willing to settle for things like money and fame, respect or appreciation from others, what people think of us, rather than what God thinks of us? Why are we so willing to settle for the things of this world when we can have Jesus? Why is it that so much of our prayers are about things? About the things that we want, about the things that we can get, about health, about a good education or passing an exam or getting a good job or not losing a job, instead of praying for more of Jesus? Why are we willing to settle for so much less than Jesus? I'm guessing this man didn't know Jesus. He didn't know much about Jesus, so he was willing to settle for money or food. But for us that know Jesus, why are we willing to settle for so much less? We have a new life in heaven because of Jesus, but we can have new life here on earth too. A life that's rich and satisfying because we know Jesus. So why do we spend so much time and effort praying for other things instead of praying for more Jesus in our lives? I'm guessing most of us wouldn't be willing to settle for second best in most areas of our lives. I'm going to steal the words from Ashley. We are Asians, not Bijans. We want the best. We want the best in most areas of our lives. So why is it that we're willing to settle for less than Jesus? Why are we willing to settle for money, the approval of others, instead of the one true living God? As I say this, I'm not pointing my fingers at anyone other than myself. I'm pointing the finger at me. I really wrestled with this all week. Because from the minute I started preparing the sermon, I was pretty sure this is where the sermon was heading. But as I got closer to it, I knew that the pointing was pointing at me. How many times have I prayed for physical healing? Physical healing for myself or for loved ones? How many times have I prayed for the words to write a sermon? How many times have I prayed for things? To pass an exam, for more money to pay bills, for peace in church. And then compared to that, how many times have I prayed for more of Jesus? For more of Jesus in my life. For more of Jesus in the church. For more of Jesus in the lives of others. How many times have I prayed for something from God? God's protection over me or for others, instead of just praying for God? When I compare the number of times I prayed for something versus the number of times I prayed for Jesus, it shames me. It humbles me. That's why as I'm preaching this, I'm not pointing fingers at anyone but myself. As I'm preaching this, I'm thinking about how many times have I given something to someone who is begging for money or food, given them money or given them food. And then I compare that with how many times have I given those people Jesus? And the finger is pointing at me. Why am I willing to settle for less than Jesus? Why am I willing to settle for less than Jesus? When I can have Jesus, why am I so willing to settle for all of these other things, for so much less than Jesus? Why is it that when someone asks for something, so when someone asks for anything, even prayer, why is it that the first thing out of my mouth often isn't in the name of Jesus? Maybe it should be. Maybe everything I do and say should be centered around and grounded in the name of Jesus. Maybe everything we do and say should be grounded in the name of Jesus. And instead of settling for the things around us, maybe we should be striving for the best that is Jesus. Can you imagine how things might look different? If we did, and if everything we did and said was centered around Jesus, look at how different it was for this man. In the name of Jesus, he's given a brand new life. He's able to walk on his own, walk home for the first time in his life that day. And in the name of Jesus, it's not just his life that's changed. When the people saw the change in him, they were amazed. Verse 9 and 10 says, when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. It doesn't say that all the people who saw this lame man walking came to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior that day. But it does say they were filled with wonder and amazement. And I'm going to guess that as they're filled with wonder and amazement, there's something stirring in them, wanting to know what is going on. What is going on that this man who couldn't walk is now all of a sudden able to walk? And as something is stirring in their hearts, in their minds, Peter realizes that. And it gives Peter the opening to share the gospel of Jesus with them. And in verse 12, when Peter saw this, he said to them, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness, we had made this man walk?" And from there, Peter goes on to share Jesus with the people in the temple. Remember, most of the people in the temple were probably Jews going to the temple to pray or worship. And he's able to share with them the good news of Jesus Christ because they saw this man stand up and walk. And he calls them to repent and turn to God, so that their sins might be wiped away. Giving Jesus to this one man led to the opportunity to give Jesus to all of these Jewish people going to and from the temple that day. We don't know how many people came to Jesus that day. We don't even know if the lame man came to Jesus that day. But we know that because of the actions of Peter and John, many heard the good news of Jesus Christ and were given the opportunity of a new life in Jesus. All because Peter and John weren't willing to settle. They weren't willing to settle with giving this lame man money or food, but instead they gave him Jesus. And maybe we need to stop settling. Maybe we need to stop settling for things. Maybe we need to want more of Jesus instead. Maybe instead of giving things to people who ask, we need to start giving Jesus to everyone around us. And maybe we need to start doing it before it's too late. The story goes that according to Cornelius Lapide, Thomas Aquinas once called on Pope Innocent II when the latter was counting out a large sum of money. "You see, Thomas," said the Pope, "the church can no longer say, 'Silver and gold have I none.'" "True, Holy Father," was the reply. "Neither can she now say, 'Rise and walk.'" Maybe that's what's happened in the Western world, the church in the Western world. We've settled so much on money. We've looked so much to money for everything that the church in the Western world has lost the power to say, "Rise up and walk." I hear in our church a lot of times, I keep hearing people saying, "Money's not the problem." They're saying it in the sense that we don't have to worry. We can do stuff because we have money. We don't have to worry about not having money. But I wonder, maybe money is the problem in the sense that we rely on money too much instead of relying on Jesus. And I fear that the longer we continue to settle for less than Jesus, a time may come or will come when we too will have lost the love and power of Jesus Christ. And maybe like what Thomas Aquinas said to the church may become true of us. We may not say, "Silver and gold have I none." But I would hate to see the day that we can no longer say, "Rise up and walk," either. Let us pray. Lord, help us not to settle. Help us not to settle for the things of this world, for the accolades of people, for the admiration of people, but to want nothing but you, Lord. To want nothing but you. To not settle for money, to not settle for silver or gold or food or degrees or accomplishments or awards, but to want you above all else, Lord. To want you as the center of our lives. To want you leading our lives, that every step and every move we make would be to bring glory and honor to you, would be to reflect you in this world. Lord, help us to be like Peter and John and to share you with those around us. Because we all need you. Whether we know it, whether we realize it or not, we all need you. So Lord, would you help us not to settle for less and always strive to know more of you? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.